The Third Wish, a short story by Joan Aiken. Once there was a man who was driving in his car at dusk on a spring evening through part of the forest at Savernake. His name was Mr. Peters. The primroses were just beginning, but the trees were still bare, and it was cold. The birds had stopped singing an hour ago. As Mr. Peters entered a straight, empty stretch of road, he seemed to hear a faint crying and a struggling and thrashing as if someone was in trouble far away in the trees. He left his car and climbed the mossy bank beside the road. Beyond the bank was an open slope of beech trees leading down to thorn bushes, through which he saw a gleam of water. He stood a moment waiting to try and discover where the noise was coming from, and then presently heard a rustling, some strange cries, and a voice which was almost human, and yet there was something too hoarse about it at one time and too clear and sweet at another. Mr. Peters ran down the hill, and as he neared the bushes, he saw something white among them which was trying to extricate itself. Coming closer, he found that it was a swan that had become entangled in the thorns growing on the bank of the canal. The bird struggled all the more frantically as he approached, looking at him with hate in its yellow eyes. And when he took hold of it to free it, it hissed at him, pecked him, and thrashed dangerously with its wings, which were powerful enough to break his arm. Nevertheless, he managed to release it from the thorns, and carrying it tightly with one arm, holding the shaky head well away with the other, for he did not wish to have his eyes pecked out, he took it to the verge of the canal and then dropped it in. The swan instantly assumed this great dignity and sailed out into the middle of the water, where it put itself to rights with much dabbling and preening and smoothing its feathers with little showers of drops. Mr. Peters waited to make sure that it was all right and that it had suffered no damage in its struggles. Presently the swan, when it was satisfied with its appearance, floated into the bank once more. And in a moment, instead of a great white bird, there was a little man, all in green, with a golden crown and long beard, standing by the water. He had fierce, glittering eyes and looked by no means friendly. "Well, sir," he said threateningly, "I see you're presumptuous enough to know that some of the laws of magic. You think that because you rescued by pure good fortune the king of the forest from a difficulty, that you should have some fabulous reward? I expect 3 wishes, no more, no less," answered Mr. Peters, looking at him steadily and with composure. "3 wishes he wants, the clever man. Well, I have yet to hear of a human being who made any good use of his 3 wish. They mostly end up worse off than they started. Take your 3 wishes, then." He flung 3 dead leaves in the air. "Don't blame me if you spend the last wish in undoing the work of the other 2. Mr. Peters caught the leaves and put 2 of them carefully in his note case. And when he looked up, the swan was sailing about in the middle of the water again, flicking the drops angrily down its long neck. Mr. Peters stood for some minutes reflecting on how he should use his reward. He knew very well that the gift of 3 magic wishes was one which brought trouble more often than not, and he had no intention of being like the forester who first wished by mistake for a sausage, and then in rage wished it on the end of his wife's nose, and then had to use his last wish in getting it off again. Mr. Peters had most of the things which he wanted and was very content with his life. The only thing that troubled him was that he was a little lonely and had no companion for his old age. He decided to use his first wish and to keep the other 2 in case of emergency. Taking a thorn, he pricked his tongue with it to remind himself not to utter rash wishes aloud. And then, holding the 3rd leaf and gazing round him at the dusty undergrowth, the primroses, the great beeches, and the blue-green water of the canal, he said, "I wish I had a wife as beautiful as the forest." Well, a tremendous quacking and splashing broke out on the surface of the water. He thought that it was the swan laughing at him. Taking no notice, he made his way through the darkening woods to his car. He wrapped himself up in a rug, and he went to sleep. When he awoke, it was morning, and the birds were beginning to call. Coming along the track towards him was the most beautiful creature he had ever seen in his life, with eyes as blue-green as the canal, hair as dusky as the bushes, and skin as white as the feathers of swans. "Are you the wife that I wished for?" asked Mr. Peters. "Yes, I am," she replied. "My name is Lita." She stepped into the car beside him, and they drove off to the church on the outskirts of the forest where they were married. And then he took her to his house in a remote and lovely valley and showed her all his treasures, the bees in their white hives, the Jersey cows, the hyacinths, the silver candlesticks, the blue cups and the luster bowl for putting primroses in. She admired everything, but what pleased her the most was the river, which ran by the foot of his garden. "Do swans come up here?" she asked. "Yes, I have often seen swans there on the river," he told her, and smiled, and she smiled. Lita made him a good wife. She was gentle and friendly. She busied herself about the house garden, polished the bowls, milked the cows, mended the socks. But as time went by, Mr. Peters began to feel that she was not happy. She seemed restless, wandered much in the garden, and sometimes when he came back from the fields, he would find the house empty, and she would only return after an hour or so with no explanation where she'd been. On these occasions, she was always especially tender and would put on his slippers to warm and cook his favorite dish, which was Welsh rare rabbit with wild strawberries for supper. One evening, he was returning home along the river path when he saw Lita in front of him down by the water. A swan had sailed up to the verge, and she had her arm round its neck, and the swan head rested against her cheek. She was weeping, and as he came nearer, he saw that the tears were rolling, too, from the swan's eyes. "Lita, what is it?" he asked, very troubled. "This is my sister," she answered. "I can't bear being separated from her." Now he understood that Lita was really a swan from the forest. And this, you know, made him very sad, because when a human being marries a bird, it always leads to sorrow, you know. "I could use my second wish to give your sister human shape so that she could be a companion to you," he suggested. "No, no," she cried. "I couldn't ask that of her." "Is it so very hard to be a human being?" asked Mr. Peters sadly. "Very, very hard," she answered. "Don't you love me at all, Lita?" "Yes, I do. I do love you," she said, and then there were tears in her eyes again. "But I miss the old life in the forest, the cool grass, the mist running off the river at sunrise, and the feel of water sliding over my feathers as my sister and I drifted along the stream." "Then I shall use my second wish to turn you back into a swan again?" he asked, and his tongue pricked to remind him of the old king's words, and his heart swelled with grief inside him. "Who would darn your socks and cook your meals and see the hens?" "I'll do it myself as I did before I married you," he said, trying to sound cheerful. She shook her head. "No. I could not be as unkind to you as that. I am partly a swan, but I am also partly a human being now. I will stay with you." Poor Mr. Peters was very distressed on his wife's account and did his best to make her life happier, taking her for drives in the car, finding beautiful music for her to listen to on the radio, buying clothes for her, even suggesting a trip around the whole world. She said no to all of that. She would prefer to stay in their house near the river. He noticed that she spent more and more time baking wonderful cake jam puffs, petite fours, eclairs and meringues, and then one day he saw her take a basket full down to the river, and he guessed that she was giving them to her sister. Well, he built a seat for her by the river, and the two sisters spent hours together there, communicating in some wordless manner, and for a time he thought all would be well, but then he saw how thin and pale she was growing. Then one night, he had been up late doing accounts, he came up to bed and found her weeping in her sleep and calling, "Ria! Ria! I can't understand what you say. Oh, wait for me. Take me with you." And then he knew it was hopeless, and that she would never be happy as a human. He stooped down and then kissed her goodbye, and then took another leaf from his note case, blew it out the window, and used up his second wish. Next moment, instead of Lita, there was a sleeping swan laying across the bed with its head under its wing. He carried it out of the house and down to the bank of the river. And then he said, "Lita, Lita," to waking her, and then gently put her into the water. She gazed round her in astonishment for a moment, and then came up to him and rested her head lightly against his hand. Next instant, she was flying away over the trees towards the heart of the forest. He heard a harsh laugh behind him, and turning round, he saw the old king looking at him with malicious expression. "Well, my friend, you don't seem to have managed so wonderfully with your first two wishes, do you? Oh, what will you do with the last? Turn yourself into a swan, ha? Or Lita back into a girl?" "I shall do neither," said Mr. Peters calmly. "Human beings and swans are better in their own shapes." But for all that, he looked sadly over towards the forest where Lita had flown, and walked slowly back to his empty house. Next day, he saw two swans swimming at the bottom of the garden, and one of them wore the gold chain he had given Lita after their marriage. She came up and rubbed her head against his hand. Mr. Peters and his two swans came to be well known in that part of the country. People used to say that he talked to swans and they understood him as well as his neighbors, and people were a little frightened of him, you know, to be honest. And there was a story that once thieves tried to break into his house, and they were set upon by two huge white birds which carried them off bodily and dropped them in the river. As Mr. Peters grew old, everyone wondered at his contentment, even when he was bent with rheumatism, arthritis. He would not think of moving to a drier spot, but went slowly about his work, milking the cows, collecting the honey and eggs, with the two swans always somewhere close at hand. And then sometimes people who knew his story would say to him, "Mr. Peters, why don't you wish for another wife?" "Not likely," he would answer serenely. "Two wishes were enough for me, I reckon. I learned that even if your wishes are granted, they don't always better you. I'll stay faithful to Lita." One autumn night, passers-by along the road heard the mournful sound of two swans singing. All night the song went on, sweet and harsh, sharp and clear. And in the morning, Mr. Peters was found peacefully, dead in his bed, with a smile of great happiness on his face. And in between his hands, which lay clasped on his breast, were a withered leaf and a white feather.